Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Welcome back for more comedy with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. We have two Martin and Lewis shows this week with A-list guest stars, Lucille Ball and Marlena Dietrich. This early show was the first show they did for NBC, and you'll notice the show didn't have a sponsor yet. NBC decided to develop their well-known stage act into a radio show after CBS took many of NBC's top shows. Middle America wasn't familiar with their act, so this show is an introduction of the fresh young act over the radio. Lucille Ball was an established actress, but her international fame was ahead of her, including a starring role in the radio sitcom My Favorite Husband, starting later that year. This is the first episode of the Martin and Lewis Show with guest star Lucille Ball, first broadcast April 3rd, 1948 on NBC.
It's the new, the great, the different, the Martin and Lewis Show! The National Broadcasting Company brings you the new Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Lucille Ball, and featuring Eileen Woods, Flo McMichael, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are two young men who, overnight, have become the nation's comedy hit. But let's get on with the show. We take you now to the apartment of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, where we find the boys getting ready, somewhat nervously, to go to the NBC studios for their first radio show.
There's a tree in the meadow with a stream drifting by. Answer the phone, Jerry, I'm tying my tie.
Okay, Dean, there's a tree in the meadow with a stream drifting by. I could never be a big singer like Crosby.
Well, why not?
I sound too much like Dean.
Oh, it must be NBC again. What cowards we are. Why are we afraid to do our own radio show? After all, how big an egg can we lay?
How big? Well, if we took a large hen and got it to hold back for 2 years...
All right, Jerry, all right. Okay. We've been acting like two frightened mice all day. We've got an ironclad contract to do the show. We got to talk to NBC sometime.
You're right. I'm not a frightened mouse. Answer the phone.
Oh, come on, Jerry, you answer it.
Dean Martin, I will tell you why I will not answer the phone. Indubitably, that is a call from NBC. And it is indubitably they want to know where the H-E-C-K we are because they are spending thousands and thousands of dollars and money to build a sensational comedy and musical extravaganza around us. And if they think we are that important, why don't they call us?
Jerry, they are calling us. Who else could it be besides NBC?
Well, it could be a wrong number, a quiz show. Hey, a quiz show. They give you money just for answering a few questions. Give me that phone. Hello, 1492 Marie Antoinette and sulfuric acid. Ship the money.
Now, come on, Jerry. We got to get down to NBC right away. Let's go.
Dean.
Yeah?
I'm scared.
Look, we've done all right so far. We shouldn't be afraid. We did all right in nightclubs, didn't we?
Yeah, but those people paid $10 cover charge, so they had to like us. But at a radio show, the audience gets in free, and at those prices, they can afford to hate us. Because there's nothing cheaper than something that doesn't cost very much, I always say.
Indubitably, but come on, Jerry, get dressed.
Okay, I shall wear my new sport coat, which the man said was good for town or country and just perfect for the beach.
What is it, gabardine?
No, wet sand.
Jerry, you're just Stalin.
That's impossible. Stalin's a big man in Russia, and Russia's a big country full of places like Vladivostok. And
they laugh.
And Dnieper. And he's a big, important man. And if he thinks I'm impersonating him, he'll get mad and come and get me and send me to Siberia. And it's full of ice and snow and sleet. And Dean...
Yeah?
I'm cold.
Jerry, you and I are going to NBC and do that program. What are you scared of? When we played the Copacabana in New York, they laughed at us. When we played the Chaperie in Chicago, they laughed at us. And when we came out here and asked for a radio job...
They laughed at us.
They didn't laugh at us. They signed us up. They want us. Jerry, we got to do this radio show. Who knows? This could make us famous.
Yeah, famous.
We could even become important actors.
Yeah, important actors.
Our names in lights, celebrities, stars in pictures.
Yeah, names in lights, celebrities, stars in pictures. I can see it all. Big hits in nightclubs. We're famous. Everybody wants us. Hal Wallace signed us for a Paramount picture. NBC signed us for a radio show. We flop. Nobody wants us. Hal Wallace won't speak to us. Paramount hates us. We spend our savings. We can't get work. We're tramping the streets, starving. We stop and press our noses against a bakery window. Dean.
What?
I'm hungry.
Tell me, Jerry, did Whitaker Chambers ever hide any papers in your head?
Well, it ain't my fault. I don't have my head with me all the time, you know. Ah, let's answer it. Hello?
Hello.
Who is this speaking, please?
Jerry. Jerry, you have to take the phone off of the hook.
Yeah, when did they do that? Okay. Hello?
Why aren't you guys down here at NBC? They're going nuts down here.
Oh, it's our agent.
Well, it's not your maiden aunt in Minneapolis. Everyone's waiting to do the program. You guys are messing up the whole thing.
Now, listen, I can explain everything.
Good. Start with you. Now, listen, boys, don't ruin everything. This radio show means a lot to us. Your careers. My commission.
You think I don't care about the show? I do. After all, I gotta live, too.
I can think of a loophole in that argument.
Ooh, how you aggravate me. Okay, Abby, we'll be right down there.
We can't leave yet, Jerry. I gotta rehearse my number. It's a romantic number. I wish I had a girl to sing it to. You know, to get me in the mood.
I'll be a girl if you'll promise to respect me. Sing to me. I'm a great movie star. And a princess of far off India.
Really? What princess of India are you?
Rita Hayworth.
You're Rita Hayworth? But you're not even on the road to being a princess of India.
Maybe I'm not on the road, but I'm sure following the right alley. See, the idea of this gag is that, well, alley is an alley in the street, see? A-L-L-E-Y. But when you say alley, A-L-I, that's like the prince that is going to marry Rita Hayworth. It's all combined into one joke, and it's so funny, this kind of... Look how they're staring at me.
Ah, Jerry, relax. Have faith in me. We'll do all right on the radio show.
That's all right for you to say, but I haven't thought up any jokes to tell the people.
Oh, you'll think of something. What about me? I haven't even rehearsed my song. I don't even know if I'm in good voice.
Well, go ahead, sing. Give yourself a clue.
Be satisfied till you break my heart. You're never satisfied till a teardrop starts. I've tried to shower you with love and kisses, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging, my poor heart is sagging the way you toss my heart around. A crying shame. Well, I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. You won't be satisfied till you break my heart. Oh, you won't be satisfied till you break my heart. You're never satisfied till the teardrop starts. I've tried to shower you with love and kisses. Ah, but all I ever get from you is nagging and bragging, my poor heart is sagging. The way you toss my heart around, it's a crying shame. Well, I'll bet you wouldn't like it if I did the same. You're only happy tearing all my dreams apart. You won't be satisfied until you break my heart.
Dean, I know you'll want my opinion of your rendition, and I cannot tell a lie. It was magnificent. Oh, well. Come on, let's go.
Oh, not so fast. Let me take a look at you first. Stand up. Wash your hands.
Yes, partner.
Wash your face.
Yes, sir.
Behind your ears.
Look, I'm just going to a broadcast. I'm not going to get married. Anyway, what about you? Did you bathe?
Well, of course. I take a bath every day.
You take a bath every day?
Well, of course.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
Now, you talk like that. What'll people think? When was the last time you took a bath?
In a tub?
Yes.
With soap?
Yes.
With water?
Yes.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
Oh, let's get out of this apartment and go to NBC.
Who is it?
It's the maid. I have to come in and clean the apartment.
Well, okay, come on in. We're just leaving anyway.
Gee, look at the load of equipment she's carrying. I never saw such a stack of stuff in my life. Here, let me help you before you drop it, miss.
I can put it down myself, thank you.
Now let me help you with the other armful.
Oh, my goodness. Just look at the condition of this room.
Huh? What's the matter with it?
It's clean.
Well, that's a break for you, then. You have no work to do.
I don't have any work to do. That's fine. I'm the maid, and I'm supposed to clean the apartments every day. And if your apartment isn't dirty, then I don't have to clean it. And if I don't have to clean your apartment, I won't have anything to do for a half hour. So I'll go out in the hall, and I'll light a cigarette, and the manager will smell the smoke, and he'll come up to me, and he'll say, "What are you doing smoking a cigarette in the hall?" And I'll say, "I haven't anything to do right now." And he'll say, "Why aren't you cleaning the apartments?" And I'll say, "I didn't have to clean the apartments." And he'll say, "Oh, you don't have to clean the apartments, huh?" And he'll get mad and fire me, and all because your apartment is clean. It's people like you that cause unemployment.
Miss, there's one thing I don't understand.
What's that?
Are you for real?
Miss, we're not trying to get you fired. Do the best you can. We have to leave. Come on, Jerry, let's go.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Now what?
There's a discrepancy in the bathroom.
A what?
One of you has to get married. The towels say his and hers, and you're a his and his.
Okay, okay. Look, just put in two hises. That'll fix it.
Oh, it's not as simple as that. If I give you another his, then I'll have an extra hers. And at the end of the week, I'll have 148 hises and 149 herses. And the manager won't know why there's more herses than hises, because he doesn't know how many hises and cheeses there are in the building anyway.
Okay, take all the towels out, all of them. From now on, we'll dry on newspapers.
Well, the next thing on my list is dusting. I'll start with a dresser.
Don't touch that bottom drawer.
Why not?
Because that's where I keep my kittens. Hey, not the top drawer either.
What's in the top drawer?
Catnip.
Well, what's to prevent the cats in the bottom drawer from going up to the top drawer and eating the catnip?
In the middle drawer, bulldog.
My, you're odd people.
We ain't odd. We're entertainers. We're Martin and Lewis, and we got a radio show to do in a few minutes.
Oh, you're on the radio. What do you do?
Well, one of us is a singer.
And the other guy's the funniest comedian you ever heard. Tells big jokes, kills the people, gets big laughs.
Which is which?
Well, come on, Jerry. Let's go to NBC.
Stand in line, folks, for the Martin and Lewis Show. The line will move inside the studio in a few moments.
Come on, Miranda. Stand in line over here.
Well, all right, but I don't understand, Henrietta. Who are Martin and Lewis?
Well, my goodness, where have you been, Miranda? Well, they're famous.
Oh?
My husband was the conductor on the train they came out here on, and he heard that the greatest entertainers New York ever saw were Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Who told your husband that, Henrietta?
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Pardon me, ladies, can you tell me how to get into the Martin and Lewis Show?
Oh, stand behind us, young man, and we'll get the best seats. You know, we always come to see these new comedians the very first week, because usually they don't last for a second week.
They don't, huh? Well, you don't know Martin and Lewis. They're the best comedians in the world, and I say that for two reasons. Bread and butter.
You know, I'm anxious to see that handsome Dean Martin. You know, Miranda, that Dean Martin's just the whole show as far as I'm concerned. He really has talent.
Now, wait a minute, lady. It takes two to make a team, you know. Takes two to make a team, Martin and Lewis. That's the team. They got to stick together. That's the way it is with any team. Without Fibber, where would Molly be? Without Kaiser, where would Fraser be? And without Earl Warren, where would... What was that guy's name again?
Okay, Jerry, I parked the car. Hey, what are you doing in this line?
Oh, it's Dean Martin!
Hello, ladies.
Oh, isn't he handsome? What are you going to sing tonight, Mr. Martin?
I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China.
It's a deal. Get the tickets and I'll meet you at the dock.
Come on, Jerry. Let's go into the studio here. Let's go into the studio here, Jerry.
Gee, look at all the people in here, Dean. I'm scared.
Here's Dean Martin. I'm your producer, Mr. Martin.
I'm your director, Mr. Martin.
I'm your manager, Mr. Martin.
I'm your singer, Mr. Martin.
I'm your producer, Mr. Martin. I'm your director, Mr. Martin.
I'm your leader, Mr. Martin.
I'm your singer, Mr. Martin. What am I, the Larry Parks of this outfit?
Be quiet, Jerry. I gotta rehearse.
Oh, now I gotta be quiet. You're a big star. A big man. You're too important for me. My tongue got in the way of my eye, too. I couldn't see what I was saying. You're just too important for me. Well, I don't need a house to fall on me. Goodbye, pal. I won't be a drag on you. I'm sorry it had to end like this. We had a lot of good times together. Even if I always did have to take the ugly ones.
Jerry. Jerry, your feelings are just hurt, that's all.
Oh, my feelings ain't hurt. I'm happy. I can laugh. I'll never forget you, Dean. You go on without me. And good luck, old pal. I won't ever be jealous of your success. When you're a big star and run over me in your big imported car, I'll still be happy. I'll just lay there and think, gee, Vogue tires. Well, I'll go now. You people don't want me here. I'll be seeing you.
Oh, poor Jerry. Why do you let him go away like that?
Oh, Jerry will be all right. Let's rehearse. And now I would like to present one of Hollywood's most glamorous stars, currently gracing your neighborhood screens in Sorrowful Jones, a charming actress who gracefully combines the talents of a leading lady and comedian.
Now listen here, Dean Martin. Don't you say anything nice about me, you big bully, you monster. I'll have you know that
wait a minute, wait a minute. Why, you are Lucille Ball. But what's the matter, Lucille?
Don't act like you don't know. You've got some nerve, Dean Martin, asking me to come down here and be a guest on your radio program after the way you beat up that sweet, adorable little Jerry Lewis. Why, if I weren't a perfect lady, I'd slug you. The idea, beating up that darling, cute, lammy pie.
Me?
Yes, you, Dean Martin.
Well, Jerry, hey, where'd he go?
He's behind me, where he'll be safe. He's not going to stay out here where you can knock him down again.
Knock him down?
Yes, and kicking him and throwing dirt in his face and trying to drive your car over him.
I did that?
See, Lucille, he admits it.
Oh, I get it. Jerry told you that story.
Yes, he did. I never met anyone so contemptible as you in my whole life. How could you treat Jerry that way? He's so darling and so cute.
You forgot Lammy Pie.
Just exactly what did Jerry tell you I did to him?
He told me the whole story. It's incredible to me that you could pick on a little fella like that when you have such a grand physique. When you're so much bigger than he is, with all those great, big, powerful muscles. You big...
Yes?
And the things you called him. It's just hard to imagine names like that being spoken by you. Why, you have that wonderful, soft, caressing voice.
Yes?
Lucille, hey, Lucille!
Will you stop tugging at my skirt?
I just wanted you to know I'm still here. Lewis is the name. Jerry Lewis, they call me. Don't stop, Lucille. Tell them off. Good.
All right. You're right. Dean Martin, how could you have slugged poor Jerry when you look so handsome with those soft eyes and long, long lashes?
Yes?
Hey, Lucille!
Shut up, you little schnook.
Schnook! Me, schnook!
The idea of telling those awful fibs about this darling, cute, lammy pie, Dean Martin. I ought to turn you over my knee and spank you.
Ding, ding.
Yes?
Ding, are you going to stand there and let her talk to me like that?
Yes. But really, he isn't bad at all, Lucille. In fact, he's a very nice guy. In fact, he's a wonderful guy. Why, Jerry's the important half of our act. He's the talent. Why, he's the one who gets all the laughs. He's the one the critics rave about. He's the one the people love.
Oh, what a ham.
Well, it's sure nice of you to come down tonight and help us get on our get our first show started, Lucille. I figured we need plenty of advice here in Hollywood.
Come on, snap out of it.
I'm sure you're going to be very successful.
Well, how about Jerry?
Yeah, how about that?
You'll see. I'm going to be a big star. When I make my first picture, I'll be sensational. I'll be... Well, you do think I'll be a picture star, don't you, Lucille?
Why not? Lassie made it.
If you're going to make fun of me, I'll quit the show. I'll give Dean all the money we've saved, and I'll go home and lock myself in a closet, kick my heels, and hold my breath until I die. And if you want to know why I do these things, it's because, listen.
Well, don't get too desperate, Jerry. Look, I have planned a little party for you and Dean after the show. Lots of important people will be there.
Well, that's wonderful, Lucille.
Well, the only thing, Dean, does Jerry know how to act at a party?
Do I know how to act at a party? Why, one time in the back room of a barbershop...
Jerry! Hold it.
You see what I mean?
Miss Ball. Miss Ball, Mr. Martin. I would like to inform you that Gerald Lewis
when attempting a social event, attending a social event. It's too close to the paper. What do you want? Miss Ball and Mr. Martin, when I'd like to inform you that Gerald Lewis, when attending a social event, always conducts himself with complacent, elegant simplicity, utterly devoid of ostentation.
Jerry Lewis, where did you get words like that?
Don't ask me. I'm just as surprised as you are. Gee, I hope there's a girl there for me. Lucille, I like him about my height.
Well, let's see now. Betty Grable will be there.
And, of course, I like him about my age.
Uh-huh. Well, Anne Blythe will be there.
And I like him to be of my intelligence.
Sorry, Margaret O'Brien can't stay out that late. Jerry, I hope you understand. I've invited important people. People of refinement, breeding, culture.
Don't worry about me. Refinement and breeding and culture pour out of me like sweat off a horse's neck.
Lucille, don't worry. I'll guarantee Jerry.
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid he'll be a little raucous.
Raucous? Me? Don't ever worry about Jerry Lewis being raucous. I'll make more noise than anyone there.
Oh. Now, Lucille. If you'll just tell us the address of the party, and by the way, Lucille, shall we dress?
Naturally, we don't want the cops.
Oh, the party sounds like it'll be a lot of fun, Lucille, and I'm sure we'll know exactly what to do.
Sure, we've been educated. You know, I worked my way through Harvard.
What?
Well, he did stumble his way through high school.
He looks more like he had to shoot his way out of kindergarten.
I'm really looking forward to this, Lucille.
Well, my house isn't one of those elaborate Hollywood mansions, Dean.
Oh, there's one thing, Jerry. If we decide to go in for a dip, be sure you don't go in the servant's swimming pool.
Well, I'm sorry to butt in, but we go on the air in 30 seconds.
Okay, fine. Are you nervous, Jerry?
Me? Nervous?
20 seconds.
I'll be all right. I'll kill the people.
15 seconds.
Just let me at them.
10 seconds.
I'll fracture them.
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2,
I'll pulverize them.
The Martin and Lewis Show is on the air.
Go ahead, Jerry. Start talking.
Yes, sir. A very funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio.
Well, come on, Lucille. Help me hold Jerry up and we'll do the song.
Okay. Up he goes.
Up he goes.
If you got it, you don't need it.
If you need it, you don't got it.
You don't get it, shame on you.
Funny, 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 what money can do.
Ask the rich man, he'll confess. Money can't buy happiness.
Ask a poor man, he don't doubt.
But he'd rather be miserable with than without.
I love life and I want to live. I love life and I say,
Jerry,
no,
Jerry.
Yeah, but I love life.
I know, but you don't have to spoil it for the rest of us.
If you spend it, please be wiser.
If you save it, you're a miser.
If you don't want it,
you're cuckoo.
Funny, 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 what money can do.
It's good to be home in bed. And, Dean, I'm sorry I messed up our radio program tonight.
Ah, forget it, Jerry. It's past midnight. Better get some sleep. Good night.
Good night.
Well, who could that be?
What do you want?
It's me, the maid. I'm sorry, but you'll have to get out of those beds.
Get out of bed? Why?
Well, you see, those beds are 6x3 beds. And this afternoon I made a mistake and I put on 7x4 sheets. And if I put the wrong sheets on your beds, the manager will say to me...
Look, miss, if I get up, I'll start walking the floor. And if I start walking the floor, I'll get into a bad humor. And when I go to embassy tomorrow, they'll say, Jerry Lewis, why did you faint on your radio program? And I'll say, who could help but fainting? I was excited. And they'll say, oh, talking back, eh? I guess you don't want to go on the radio very bad. And I'll say, and they'll say, and they'll fire me. It's people like you that cause unemployment.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
You've just heard the new Martin and Lewis show. If you enjoyed them, tune in again each Sunday night at the same time. And next week, our guest will be Bob Hope. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have Martin and Lewis hosting another international star, Marlena Dietrich. And by this time, they have sponsors. They're involved in the muscular dystrophy charity that Jerry Lewis would make a lifetime commitment, inviting listeners to donate to the cause. Enjoy the Martin and Lewis show with guest star Marlena Dietrich, first broadcast March 21st, 1952 on NBC.
Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Hollywood, we present the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Martin and Jerry Lewis are brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfields are much milder with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. By Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And by Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Well, hi, folks. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Well, it's Friday again. We've just returned from a month of personal appearances. Yes, sir, we made a lot of friends in such wonderful cities as San Francisco, Minneapolis, Cincinnati, Boston, and New York. So let's start the festivities with a song, When You're Smiling.
When you're smiling, when you are smiling, why the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, oh, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop you sighing, be happy again, keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Thank you. keep on smiling. 'Cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Thank you very much. Very kind. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, when now... I'm smiling, when I'm smiling.
Well, if it isn't my partner, Jerry Lewis.
If it isn't, I sure been using the wrong toothbrush.
Tell me, Jerry, after a month on the road, how's it feel to be back in Hollywood?
I'm glad you asked me that, Dean. I'm going to tell you, too. When I got off that train in Los Angeles, I was really feeling good. I hopped off in the best of spirits. Tipped the porter with a big smile, walked through the depot happy as a lark, strode through the big main entrance, took one look outside and said,
Jay, don't tell me you're going to stand there and say we had rain in California.
What? Me say that it rained in California? Don't be silly. It never rains in California.
That's better.
Sure, my kid always goes to school with a flock of salmon.
Flock of salmon. Jerry, now this conversation is really getting insipid.
Oh, I don't know. It sounds sipid enough to me.
Look, Jerry, will you take a word of advice from someone who loves you?
Sure. What is it, Ma?
Jerry, I'm not your mother. Your mother's a woman.
Good heavens. So that's why Dad married her.
All right. Very funny, Jerry. Really, you fracture me.
No, you fracture me. I just joined the Blue Shield.
What's the use? I can't take much more of this. One of these days, I'll have to leave you and take a holiday.
All righty. Which holiday would you like? Christmas, New Year's, or Judy?
Jerry! Judy is not the kind of a holiday I want.
You don't feel good with me.
Oh, forget it, Jerry. You won your point.
Let's face it, buddy. I always win my point.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, ad-libbed. I don't know where I am.
Well, I know where I am. I'm just about to introduce our first guest.
And what grand surprise have you in store for us tonight? Pray tell me, won't you?
Well, tonight we are being blessed with a visit from Dr. Ludwig von Krivis, the noted tree surgeon. He's the most famous tree doctor in the world.
Dean, I hate so to disappoint you, but Dr. Von Krivis won't be here. He broke his leg.
Oh, that's too bad. How'd it happen?
He fell out of a patient.
Well, now what do we do?
Simple. Just introduce me as the doctor, and your tree troubles are all over.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure and privilege to introduce the world's leading authority on tree health, the world-renowned tree surgeon, Dr. Ludwig von Krivis. Good evening, Dr. von Krivis. As a tree surgeon, I know you must have some unusual experiences. Tell us, have you ever been in danger?
Once I was up in a tree with my saw, and a big bee stung me on the hand.
Did you put anything on it?
No, it flew away too fast.
But while you were up there, did you saw anything?
Ah, what could I saw? On the second floor, they had the shade pulled down.
Doctor, will you tell us about the famous operation you performed on that giant elm tree?
Certainly. First, undercut.
Hoist.
In the beginning, I made an undercut on top of the tree. Then I made a top cut at the bottom of the tree. This allowed the sap to circulate freely. Then I stripped off all the bark, exposed the cambrium, and made a quick incision with my scalpel. And then chopped, turned, thought, and spliced. My job was done.
Well, Good heavens. What was wrong?
Nothing. I was barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Tell me, Doctor, have you ever done any grafting?
Well, once I ran for mayor in Scranton.
No, Doctor. I mean, have you ever conducted any big experiments?
Oh, surely. I was the first to cross a California redwood with a New Hampshire maple.
And what did you get?
Splinters.
Maybe you can help me, Doctor. The pine tree in front of my house is full of little yellow blisters.
Oh, that's nothing. Yesterday I saw a tree and it was complaining because its peaches were too soft.
Oh, that can't be serious. The peaches were probably overripe.
Ah, but the problem wasn't that simple.
Why not?
This was an apple tree.
Apple tree. You know, our time is running short, Doctor. Before you go, would you care to make any statement as to the general health of trees in this country?
Certainly. I would say that most of our trees is pretty sick kids, and the situation is getting worse.
I suppose you could say that the trees are going to the dogs?
No, but you could say the dogs are going to the trees.
The mask is off. The mask is off in cigarette advertising. Chesterfield is first to name all of its ingredients, and here they are. The right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities. And Chesterfield keeps these tobaccos tasty and fresh with tried and tested moistening agents, pure natural sugars, chemically pure, harmless, far more costly glycerol, nothing else. Only these are entirely safe for use in the mouth, as proved by over 40 years of continuous use in tobacco products. And remember this, Chesterfields are wrapped in pure white cigarette paper, the best that money can buy. Now, we name our ingredients because we think every smoker ought to know what makes Chesterfield the best possible smoke, what makes Chesterfield much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. Visit your dealer and sound off for Chesterfield. Do it today.
Well, the most popular songs express pretty definite sentiments, ladies and gentlemen. They usually say, I love you or I hate you. They all seem to get right to the point. Well, the number I'm going to sing right now falls out of the regular category and heads right into the middle of the road. Richard, a little maybe music.
Maybe you think of me when you are all alone. Maybe the one who is waiting for you will prove untrue. Then what will you do? Ah, maybe you sit inside wishing that I were near. Then maybe you'll ask me to come back home again, and maybe I'll say maybe. Maybe you'll ask me to come back home again, and maybe I'll say maybe.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if you'll excuse me for a minute, I'll go out and fetch our most fetching guest, who will be with us right after Jimmy Wallington has this to say.
Thank you, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, here is something you should know if you ever suffer from the sudden pain of headaches, neuritis, or neuralgia. It's a way to ease the pain, often within a few minutes. A way that is incredibly fast and effective. It's Anacin. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people were first introduced to Anacin through their own physicians or dentists. But today, these tablets are in such widespread use that all drug counters have them, and anyone may enjoy their benefits. The next time you suffer from the pains of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, by all means, try Anacin. You'll like the convenience of Anacin tablets, and you'll be delighted with Anacin's incredibly fast action. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin. Ask for Anacin by name today at your druggist's.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is one of the real great treats in our current series. She is easily one of the most beautiful, glamorous, and famous actresses of our time. And it's really a thrill to welcome her here now. So here she is, your favorite and ours, the one and only Marlena Dietrich, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, everybody. Hello, Dean. Thank you, Dean, for the very flattering introduction.
It's my pleasure, Marlena. And now I suppose you must be anxious to meet my partner, Jerry?
Not necessarily, Dean. I saw him in the hallway before the show. He was chasing a girl.
Well, that's nothing. Lots of fellas chase girls.
With a slingshot?
No. But hark, here comes young Romeo now.
Hey, Dean, after your next song, can I...
Good heavens, you went and had your legs remodeled.
Jerry, you're looking at the most beautiful legs in the world. And they don't belong to me.
Don't be sad, Booby. You still have a pretty face.
Well, Marlena, this is Jerry. Are there any questions?
Yes. At what age did they cut off his tail?
Thing sounds like Humphrey Bogart with a sore throat.
Jerry, this happens to be Marlena Dietrich. You've seen her in pictures. She usually plays a siren.
Siren? Sounds more like a foghorn.
Look who's talking. He sounds like Andy Devine having a nightmare.
Now, you see, Jerry, you've made her angry. Now, I want you to behave like a real gentleman. After all, this is Marlena Dietrich.
She's Marlena... Well, if she's Marlena Dietrich, I'm Johnny Ray.
You better show him, Marlena.
See what the boys in the back room...
Well, what do you say, Jerry?
If you're sweetheart is a letter to your wife...
Well, you mustn't mind Jerry, Marlene. His mind wandered.
Well, don't worry about it. How far can it go?
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good, Marlena. No kidding. I mean, you're really a serious actress, and you play all those serious parts. But this time you get on our show, and you insult me, and the whole audience laughs. It's really terrific. I mean, from a legitimate actress, and she makes a joke, and... Dean, we couldn't get Gloria Swanson.
Well, if that's the way you feel, I might just as well leave right now.
Oh, no, no, please don't leave. I was only kidding, Marlene. Honest, I didn't mean any harm. Why do I hurt people this way? I'm just no good, that's all. Mistake, that's all I think.
There, don't be sad.
Oh, I'm so unworthy of everybody. Why? Why must I be so difficult? I'm so young and terrible.
Dean, this boy is too much for me. I just don't know how to handle him.
It's easy, baby. Just pick me up and hold me tight. That's all.
Please, Jerry, I'm afraid you have a lot to learn about the opposite sex.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? Mm-hmm. Well, you just ask the other girls about me. Ask Rita Hayworth. Ask Janet Lee. Ask Selma Kranzfarb.
Who's Selma Kranzfarb?
She was my childhood sweetheart. But I learned her secret when they cut off her curls.
What was her secret?
She was really Sidney Kranzfarb.
Jerry, I don't think Marlene is at all amused by your ridiculous talk.
Oh, I'm having a wonderful time, Dean.
You know, Marlene, someday I'd like to visit your program, Cafe Istanbul. I heard it last week, and it's really terrific.
Say, why don't we bring a touch of Marlene's program to our show right now?
That should be fun. I'd like to see you, too, in one of those mysteries of the Near East.
Well, why wait? The new way we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we are proud to bring you a drama filled with foreign intrigue and breathtaking suspense. Tonight's thrilling episode is fittingly called Cafe Turkestan. Our scene is the notorious Cafe Turkestan, the most fabulous night spot of the Middle East. It is here that we meet the characters in our play. There. Out of her dressing room steps the exotic dancer, Michelle.
I am the dancer, Michelle.
Out of the black night steps the American, Rick Martin.
I am the American, Rick Martin.
And out of the kitchen steps the waiter, Harold.
I am the waiter. I am Harold.
Hey, how about some service over here? Let me speak to the owner.
What seems to be the trouble here? Oh, it's you. Hello, Ricky.
Hello, baby. Long time no see there.
Long time no dance.
Long time no embrace.
Long time no kiss.
Long time no have something to say.
Michelle, I've been here 20 minutes and this waiter still hasn't taken my order.
Be patient, Ricky. Remember, he's only got two heads. You know, Ricky. You know, Ricky, there's something suspicious about this waiter.
Yeah. He has a strange and shifty look. I think he's a spy.
What makes you think that I'm a spy?
You just swallowed a piece of paper. There's a map sticking out of your pocket. You have a bomb in your hand. You're wearing three medals from a foreign government, and I recognize you from a picture in the paper.
Yeah, but what makes you think I'm a spy?
Hey, now I remember him. He's that international spy, Mata Jerry.
This is Mata Jerry? He doesn't look like much of a spy to me.
Oh, yeah? Well, for your information, I happen to be pretty experienced in cloak and Dagmar.
You're experienced in cloak and dagger, not Dagmar.
Look, buddy, do I tell you where to get your experience?
No.
Come on, Martha Jerry, tell us your mission, or you will regret it.
I'll never tell. You can break every wheel in my body. You can put lighted matches under my cigarettes. You can pull out my toenails, all 12 of them. But I can tell you, do you hear? I can never tell you.
Why, you fool? Why can't you tell us your mission?
I forgot what it was.
I know what I'll do. I'll search him.
Don't you dare lay a hand on me.
Why not?
I'm ticklish. Oh.
It's no use, Ricky. He must be the penalty of spies.
You mean?
Yes. He must be eliminated.
All right, Mata Jerry. I'm going to put my arms around your neck and crush and crush and crush. Do you have any last requests?
You're going to put your arms around my neck and crush and crush and crush, and you want to know if I have any last requests?
That's right.
I sure have.
What is it?
Let her do it.
All right. Well, as the oriental sun sets in Turkestan, it rises again in Hollywood to shine on Jimmy Wallington.
Thank you, Dean. And now here's something of interest to everybody.
For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with
breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Before you go out, and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine. You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful, tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine. So, for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Well, I guess everyone remembers their first date. Mine was with a cute little freshman at a high school dance, and I was mighty proud to be sitting across the table from the prettiest girl in the crowd. Well, it was kind of a good and a bad experience for me, because even if I did have the best-looking girl, I couldn't enjoy dancing with her. You see, at that time, I still hadn't learned to dance. So we just sat there holding hands across the table. I don't even remember her name, but if she happens to be listening, she might enjoy
hands across the table while the lights are low. Though you hush your lips, your fingertips tell me all I want to know. Hands across the table, meet so tenderly, and they say in their little way that you belong to me.
Jerry, the word is prettily. I certainly sang that song prettily.
How can one man be so modest?
Speaking of modesty, boys, I understand you just finished a marvelous television program for the Heart Fund.
Well, we served the 16-and-a-half-hour stretch in New York and loved every minute of it.
That must have been quite a show.
Oh, not really, Marlena, because we had a lot of wonderful people to help us make it a success.
And speaking of wonderful people, Marlena, Maybe you're interested to know that there was one gal named Maria Riva who stuck with us for the whole show and did a tremendous job.
Do you know Maria, Marlena?
You might say she is related by marriage.
You mean like a cousin or something?
No, like a daughter or nothing.
Gee, imagine two such beautiful women in one family.
Why, thank you, Jerry. And thank you, Dean. I really enjoyed myself tonight.
Thank you, Marlena.
Yeah, we've had beautiful people on this program before, but... Wow!
Good night, boys.
Good night, Marlena.
Good night, Marlena. Ladies and gentlemen, Marlena just mentioned our telethon for the Heart Fund, and the wonderful contributions from the people in the New York area made it a great success.
We would like to commend the Heart Fund for doing a very wonderful thing. Knowing that the Muscular Dystrophy Association is a charity that is close to our hearts, very graciously offered MDA a percentage of all the monies raised, a beautiful gesture that will go far in giving hope to the sufferers of this dread disease. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, funds are needed desperately to help our scientists find a cure. So please give all you can. Send your contributions to MDA, New York 8, New York. That's MDA, New York 8, New York. Thank you.
Well, folks, till next week, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis reminding you that our new picture, Sailor Beware, can now be seen at your local theater. We hope you'll go see it.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Hollywood, you just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Mack, with music under the direction of Dick Stabile, and brought to you by Chesterfield. Remember, Chesterfields are much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and from reports of a well-known research organization, Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste. By Anacin, for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And by Beam and Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too.
Hear Phil Harris and Alice Faye at a new time, 7 o'clock Sunday on NBC.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcast, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.